The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed in my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, in today's gospel reading, perhaps it can be summarized that there was a failure to embrace a vocation on behalf of this young man, that perhaps Christ was calling to become an apostle, not just to follow him, but he had many followers, but he asks him to completely follow by letting go of everything. As Peter, in his impetuosity, says, "Remember, Jesus, that I gave up everything." You know, Peter always, he's strong-willed. Just remember that I gave up everything. My brothers and sisters, always the gospel readings speak to us. Today is about salvation. It's about what we have to do because our salvation is a work in progress. It is not our brother separated brethren, our Protestant, that once you say, "Jesus is my Savior," it is a free ride. Because Paul is clear, he states that I work out my salvation in fear and trembling. And God is always at work. God works. And he works to bring about the image of his Son in you and I by his will for us. And that will is mysterious. That will is not always comfortable. And that will is not always something that we like to run to, because that will is one and only the cross of Jesus Christ in us. Salvation, the ultimate gift from God to live in complete union with God. And the process of salvation begins now. And it begins now. And it doesn't begin now in a way that perhaps we think that it should be. But it's in a way that God has ordained from the beginning of time, before he even formed us in the womb of our mother. He called us by name to serve him and to be with him as his son.
He places the valley of us as his son. And so, as many have written before us, that our value is like the value of God, because he becomes a man to save us. So salvation begins now. The process, the work begins now. We have to realize that, because if not, then we can also say, I also have done what you have told me to do. I go to Mass on Sunday. I don't commit murder. I follow the commandments. I don't commit adultery. But the readings in the first and second are very clear that through prayer we obtain prudence and wisdom. And if we don't pray, then we can be like that young man and say, well, I've already done what I had to do. What must I do? And Jesus is clear. Give your riches away. Well, then we can say, well, I don't have that many riches. But the riches that we have are the ones that we hold on to, which are the riches of pride, the riches of our will, of what we think, of what we want to do, about what we disagree with the way God is handling the world, and all the sin that falls out from that. And that is very dangerous, because again, in the reading, the first and second reading, countless are the riches that come through prayer. And through one of that is the riches of discernment. Because the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, is an effective sword that cuts. But if we don't pray, the sword is not even near us. And we will have to, as the second reading says, render an account for not following, for following the vocation that God has for us, as he had for the young man too, because he couldn't give everything. He couldn't give everything. That must strike a chord with us. Because we can also say, I have done everything. I've been a cradle Catholic. Or I became a Catholic 2 years ago, and I do everything. But we have to be careful that we are not in our own little mind. The wheels are spinning in our own little world, and we're not praying, because without prayer, we lose discernment. Satan begins to whisper pride, and it is what happened in the Garden of Eden, original sin. We may not have many possessions like the young man. We can have the 25 pairs of shoes in our closet, the 5 watches, whatever we can become attached to, we can become attached to. But it's the attachment of ourselves that without prayer, we don't carry our cross. And then we may not think we are, but we certainly have the potential to become vile, nasty, unloving, and really not look like much of a Christian, because we're fulfilling the letter of the law and not the heart of the law, which is where this young man failed. And he failed, and because of that, he may have been, like I said, a great apostle. We may have been saying, we don't know his name, he is a young man, but we may have been saying, Saint such and such, an apostle. But he made a decision. And perhaps because he did not pray, and his decision was not from the heart, and looking that this was the Word of God speaking to him, but that I have fulfilled the requirements. I had punched the card. I had not missed Mass. I had done what I had to do, and so I deserve eternal life. God wants so much more for us. So much more. And that is why he sends the cross, that he may shape us, that he may form us into the image of his divine Son. When anything happens in our lives that is suffering, all we have to do is look at the cross, at the crucifixion. There's a difference between loving ourselves. We have to love ourselves. We cannot love our husband, our wife, our children, friends, our priests, the church, but not loving ourselves. That comes first. That's healthy. But there's a difference between loving ourselves and self-love, which many spiritual writers have written about. We can never, ever love ourselves more than we love God. And that is what happens in original sin. And the serpent that whispers that you can become a god. That's why God doesn't want you to eat of the tree of knowledge. Because then you will be like him. We will be like him. We will share his nature. But in the way that God has ordained through our life, our suffering, through our death, and our resurrection as his son has gone before us. And we make ourselves a god if we do not follow that path and work at our salvation. He shepherds us, he calls us, he forms us. What he permits, his direct will, his permissive will, that he does not allow not even a hair to fall from our head. And so whatever he permits, as difficult as that may seem, and all the disorders of our lives at times, with illness and disease of children, of adults, and the disorder of our world, Christ is calling us. But what happens is that self-love muscles in. It will always muscle in. St. Francis de Sales, that our will dies 15 minutes after we die. Hence, that's how strong our will is. And so when we self-love and we love ourselves more than God, then we sin. Because then we think that, well, this is the way it should be. And so we have the capital sins of lust. And that with all the things that we see nowadays, gluttony, greed, sloth, which is, it's not typically just laziness, but spiritual sloth, which is not to pray. If we don't pray, it's like we're in a bubble. Prayer then allows the word of God to cut us between marrow and joint, that we may render an account for what we are called. Because if not, then we also will miss our vocation. St. Teresa says that in her garden of heaven, there are flowers, there are tulips, there are roses, there are little flowers and big flowers. We don't know what place we're going to have, like the castles of St. Teresa of Avila, the many castles that God has prepared for his people. We may miss our place if we do not discern through prayer. But thanks be to God that we have virtues of chastity, of abstinence, of generosity, of diligence, of patience, of kindness, and humility. So I end with that. We won't say it or sing it today, but the communion antiphon for today's Mass is beautiful and very clear. The rich suffer want. Now remember, it's not the rich of having money. You can be attached to riches. There are many that are poor that are attached to riches, and there are many that are rich that are not attached to riches. The rich suffer want and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no blessing.